Chinyambuyu.
For instance, for me, as I was joining campus, I was so eager to get into a relationship.
Yeah. All of us.
Into a difference in experience.
It's really easy if you didn't have education about what really happens in campus.
In as much as we want to be quiet about this, this is something that should also be incorporated.
I invite you to be vulnerable. I invite you to be open. I invite you to share your insights and experiences.
Chinyambuyu.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chinyambuyu Podcast. This is another episode of the Campus Cafe series. And in this particular episode, we are talking about feminist leadership in university, feminist movement building in university, and how building movements in universities for women can lead to change. So in the studio today, I have young women who are active in leadership in their schools, active in social change, leaders with who are futuristic, who are thinking about how to shape the country into a better future for women. Mm-hmm. So I'm really impressed by all of you. I think I'm fangirling from it. Yeah. It's because your journeys and your insights are very powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we could start with, maybe you could share, who is the female leader in Kenya that you draw inspiration from, that you admire and why?
So I think for me, there are many Kenyan women I admire. But currently, I admire Monica Juma because of how she has been able to transition from one government to the next and her diplomacy and how to go around it. So she's honestly currently an icon to me in that aspect of women. I always thought not to know how to go around the streets of power, and she has gone through them. Yes.
Well, for me, I think any woman who is in power, I really tend to imagine the many things they have to go through to actually be in that position and deliver. So for me, I think the one woman that I think I look up to, because I believe in leadership that you can see, I want to see fruits. So one woman was definitely the former First Lady, Margaret Kenyatta. I loved that she had programs that she ran, and we could actually see that she's doing things on the ground. We'd see the fruits. People benefited from the many programs she started. So yes, I believe in that, and I think that's one woman I admire.
Okay, same to me. I do admire any lady who is in power. That's a plus for them. And for me, I'll go for Lynette Toto, the current women rep. Is it
Bomet?
Yeah. So I think she's an inspiration to many right now, because I believe that young ladies have gained that courage through her, and they do believe that no matter what, you can still get what you want. Mm-hmm. So she has really given that courage to many, and I do believe that come 2027, we'll be having that large number of young women who will be going for that.
For me as well, when I see any woman in leadership, be it class representative, I try to imagine their story. Like, you know, have you ever like sat somewhere in a matatu and you're just trying to imagine someone's story? That's how I envision like how these people are so powerful. And I even remember when, I wanted to give an example when we did our law school campaign, and Marion was campaigning against and for me, you know, when in the history of our I went deep, like back and saw like how many women were in leadership, and I just saw the bravery in her, because we've had like we only had like one female Kulsa president, but her now standing up and, you know, just trying to and winning, like it really inspired me. And to me, leadership is what I see every day, like my class representative, these leaders over here, and every woman just inspires me whom I've interacted with, right?
So maybe you could share your motivation for joining the leadership post that you're in. Maybe tell us what you do, what advocacy issues are you majorly in?
Okay, so my motivation for being in leadership positions, So I think my story is an interesting one because I can say nilijipata tu. Na nilijipata tu kitambo nikiwa mdogo sana. Because the first, I was a class prefect since I was in class 3. Then when I got to class 7, I became a deputy head girl. In class 8, I was the head girl of my primary school. Then in the same year, I became the vice president of all primary schools in Trans Nzoia County. So I come from Kitale. So by that time, okay, the reason why I never understood why I was being chosen for these positions, people would just say that I stand out. You know, I never really understood why.
Like people see something.
Yeah, people just see something. I think people saw it before I could see it.
Yeah.
So really, even when I think in primary, I didn't, because the voting system was people choose those who will be nominated. So the teachers will choose the nominees and then people vote. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. So when I went to high school, I just didn't want to be a prefect anymore. You know, you've been a prefect all your life. You can't even give a story about being a commoner. That's what I wanted. So I remember in Form 1, I was like, I'm not going to do this thing. When I went to high school, I remember my class teacher walked into the classroom and she was like, so who do you want to be your class prefect? And we were in school for like just 2 weeks, I think 1.5 weeks. And then everyone shouted my name. And then I was like, okay, why do you guys want me to be a class prefect? And then everyone said I should be the class prefect. So I remember I cried because I am a person who really cries. Many people don't know.
it's actually very good to express it.
Yeah, for sure. So I remember I cried and I told the teacher, hey, I just don't want this thing. I really don't want it. And then she told me one thing. She told me, if it is yours, it will come back to you. And then she told me, fine, if you want to be the class prefect, okay, but if it is yours, it will come back to you. So I remember the next year, I was voted to be the house prefect. And then the following year, I became the deputy head girl, and then I became the head girl of the school again. So that's how it happened. So I think by high school is when now I started seeing what others were seeing. Mm-hmm. And then now I understood that there is an impact that I bring wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And that's now what made me to actively follow this path. And that's also what made me to actually vie to become the law school president. So really what motivates me to vie for leadership positions now that I do vie for them is because I believe that there is a voice or there is a gift that I have. There is a way I see things. There is something that I can bring to the table for the benefit of everyone. I believe that there is that one thing that God has placed in my heart and a way in which I can actually contribute to the society in whichever way possible. So what motivates me is to just make the society a better place for everyone. Yeah.
Interesting.
So for me, I was the president of the whole university, the second female president of my university. I ended up being the first runners-up of the president of the year in the country last year. I also ended up convening a female student leader conference, which was among the first, because the ones that are convened normally are just for, sorry to say, the elites, and also it's not inclusive for people who are not in Nairobi, residing in Nairobi. And then we introduced so many things in my tenure. Now, my story is different because I was never a prefect in primary school. I was never a prefect in high school.
But you came to uni and you became
I came
president.
To uni and I became president. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really, whenever I think about motivating people, my first target group is always the people who think they're average. Because I thought I was average for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Did I know that I have something in me?
Yeah.
Looking back, I think I knew that there's something in me, but I didn't know where to express it from. Mm-hmm. And so you find that, yes, I was a social studies rep, but that's a minor role. But funny enough, I didn't remember till last year that actually when I was in class 8, we had things called the children's government.
Yeah.
And I vied to be class MP and I actually lost. And so it didn't hit me. That's why I'm always when I'm asked how I handle failure, I'm just like, oh well, it comes and it goes. Because at the end of the day we have experienced that. And so my leadership journey came in when I vied for the vice chairperson position in the university for peer counselors. I was very interested in mental health. I went ahead, even did a certificate on it. And my passion came from my own experiences. I felt like for a very long time those that with COVID especially, everyone was going through the most. So when I came to school, I vied for the vice president, vice chairperson position of the peer counselors, and I got it. And a friend of mine came and told me, do you know that you can actually vie for Miss Kabarak, or actually you can vie for the students council? Mm. And I was just like, nah, can never be me. And it ended up being me. Yeah. So later on, when the year went by, almost a month, to the election of the student leaders, I noticed that actually you're supposed to vie for a position of first a director. So I'm also a director of, I was a director of hostel and campus security. I noticed that actually I can do this. I saw my competitors strategized and said, I'm taking this thing. Yes. So once I went for it, and once I hit the road for my campaigns, I was like, it's coming home or it's coming home. So at the end of the day, I was very intent with my fight for my position into leadership, as much as there's no past record, especially of holding big positions.
Right.
So yes.
Okay, for me, first and foremost, I think for me, I believe that leadership is a calling. Because I'm someone who I can say that I've been a leader since when I was young. Actually, I'm a leader in my life because I'm a firstborn. That's one.
Me too.
The only girl in a family of three. And my leadership started there, I can say. And then in my primary level of education, I remember when I was in standard 8, I became a class prefect. I think 7, 8, I was a class prefect. When I went to high school, the same routine. I became a class prefect while I was in my 4th form. Then now here in campus. When I was in, last year when Lorraine were now vying to be the leaders during that time, I couldn't imagine myself there because the campaign was tough. Everything was tough. So I couldn't imagine myself there. But then there's this time that Lorraine and her council, they came up with this event, the female leadership.
Conference.
I remember I was on my long holiday, but I really purposed to attend it. And my parents really supported that. So when I went back, my parents were like, we can see this thing of leadership in you and you believe that you can do this. Why don't you try something, being a director in your school? And I was like, dad, hey, there, you know the population. So it's a tough one. But then I sat down and just talked to myself. And then I was like, yes, I've been in Kabarak. This is my last year, my next year I'll be done. So I was like, what can I do for this school? Because I think I've been here for quite some time and I really want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a mark in this institution. So what can I do for these people? And then since I come from a community where girls are not given that opportunity to air out or rather to speak out for themselves, so I said that I think my journey is going to begin here. So I'll just go try and get my way to this leadership seat and see how I can stretch out so that at the end of it all, I'll have lived a mark here, and I'll be able to reach to those people in my community. So when I came, I remember the first time my competitor had started the campaigns earlier than me, then I was really tensed up, but I just believed in myself and I knew that I was going to make this. So I think leadership is all about, I think, the way you perceive yourself and the way you talk to yourself. And it's a matter of believing in yourself. Yeah.
She for she.
Oh my God, I really feel inspired today. For me, leadership is so different. Your social studies, I mean, you cheered as social, you're like a social studies leader.
Yes.
I was a table leader.
Wow.
That's so
crazy. I was deciding what people are eating. That's such a powerful position.
I know. And just managing a table of 8 people. I mean, in my high school, they really insisted like on small leadership things. And I remember because I really struggled with my confidence because to me, when Marion, for example, was vying and Lorraine and everyone else was vying, I was like, how are they even confident? Like, whenever I just want to talk, I used to question myself, am I good enough? Am I worthy? I am, you know those conversations and bad talk that just comes into your mind. And I was like, being a table in charge is just something. You want people to, you know, when you're a leader, you're like, you have to behave this way. It gave me control. And in as much as that role was so small, I remember in my first year when I first joined Akili Dada, and we taught about leadership, and we were asked to do projects. And I remember like the transition between me being in my form one to form four and figuring out projects. Like
what project did you do?
I did reading program. I mentored kids. Like I have a library now and I have donations of books.
What's the name
you
of
can
your
say, like, so you can say you're standards. Not a leader, honey.
Yeah.
You just can't say.
Yeah. Right. Like my leadership was so interesting because, you know, I'm the biggest, I'm the oldest, and I was with kids, 50, mm-hmm. reading stories, and I felt like I was a leader, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's leadership.
And seeing these kids narrating stories, and I'm like, okay, what did you understand from this story? What did you pick? What was the lesson?
Yeah.
And it grew. Like when I go home for my long holidays, like these schools in the zone usually, like, they all want me to go teach in their schools and mm-hmm. read. And these kids look forward to me just reading this storybook mm-hmm. to them. And my
that's
leadership.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Especially using storytelling.
Right. Wow.
Right, and
I remember there's this story, Damaged Fruit. It was about damaged fruit, about FGM, and I would read to these kids and they would be like, what? You mean FGM is this way? And, mm-hmm. and I feel like to me that was leadership because I was changing a narrative through a book.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's really beautiful.
Thank
that's
you. Thank you so much.
And
so,
I think my cross-cutting insights from all of your leadership journeys is that you believed in yourself
right.
at a very young age.
Right.
And I'd assume even for you running for office
right.
in a school where you're the youngest.
Right.
You're the youngest person to ever run for that office.
Right.
Or you're the first female person to run. To
right.
the, you know, that comes with fear.
Yeah. Right.
And the fact that you're all able to overcome that fear and
right.
then, you know, achieve and get to the leadership positions that you're in. That's
right. Right.
Thank you.
And I love that you mentioned previously that one of the things that you advocate for is mental health.
Right.
So if you could share why mental health and how you do that, mm-hmm. and also maybe to the rest of the panelists, what's the major issues that you advocate for mm-hmm. in your leadership journeys
okay.
and why?
So I think the things I advocate for include mental health, menstrual hygiene, mm. and also matters of general mentorship of both boys and girls. And those are the main areas I focus on, and I have done many things on those fronts. And I think for me, when mental health came in first, personally, I had gone through a period in 2019, 2020, where I was not okay.
Yeah.
And I was not like really depressed, but it was more of self-diagnosed anxiety. Mm-hmm. And a lot was going on and I just felt so out of touch, especially with a lot of people. A lot was just going on and it was more of me. And so when I felt it to me, and also at that time, I think there was just some challenges, especially with my sister's health, that always stressing me because you have to take care of people, you have online classes, mm-hmm. and all that stressed me up. And I think my coping mechanism was mainly just crying it out, overthinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, when life came back now, 2021, we are back to socializing with people, I promised myself that I'd learn more about mental health. And I told myself that because I had a friend, one of my closest friends, was a great support system. And also, we are always at Shio. Mm-hmm. We were each other's support system, yet we are all going through the most mm-hmm. at that time. And I think that's what always kept us not to go into the pits, because you just call each other, you share whatever is going on. And so when I came, there was a peer counselor's training, and I joined the training. And also, I also felt the need that many people my age mm-hmm. felt like they could not go to counselors because there was so much religion pinned with counseling and mm. all that. I wanted people to be free with me and make people at least talk about their problems, whatever they're going through, and share it with me So that's maybe we can provide solutions. And the one thing I always say is we don't really even provide solution or advice. What happens is I just come and listen to you talk.
Yeah.
I want to have conversations. There's always roles of counseling, sit squarely.
Right.
Now, I want to have a conversation where we're just eating crisps and you're on your bed lying. Mm-hmm. And we're just having a conversation where at the end of the day, you'll feel better about it.
Sure.
So I think that's what motivated me. Just seeing that I wanted my friends to also find a safe space to be able to speak about their issues and all that. So I think that's what drove me to also focus on mental health. And it has become bigger and better. We ensure that we also organize for such. When I became a leader, we created the Mental Health Awareness Week in the school and the concert.
I know.
Yes.
Right. So for me, I think the whole hallmarks of my leadership really is, one, fairness. I try my best to promote fairness in every aspect. I think it's the little things that we encounter every day that really determine how, you know, the legacy you leave, yeah? Mm-hmm. So for me, fairness, even with that one person, that one student, that one, a situation that is happening and comes to my table, what is the best way to proceed? So fairness has always been my hallmark. Of course, justice as well, trying to ensure that there's justice. And the other thing about me is, those who know that I try to bring fun into anything and everything. So I try to do that because I know, as Lorraine has talked about it, she's talked about mental health. Truly, people are going through the most. And it's so nice if you can bring social things that can bring people together. I believe in togetherness. I believe in community. I believe in cutting cake, buying a cake and cutting with people. I believe in doing all these things because I think togetherness is that one important thing. So the other thing about my leadership is that I try to bring fun in most of what I do because I think that's what brings people together and people are able to connect deeply and better.
Thank you. And taking from your point about togetherness, I've noticed your sisterhood, friend group. So I want to get to learn, maybe from the two of you.
Right.
How you support each other, how you uplift each other.
Right.
In the spaces that you're in.
Right.
How you mentor other young women to join the leadership spaces that you're in.
Right.
In terms of continuity, in terms of supporting each other, because, you know, as women, leadership is not, is a male-dominated space.
Right.
So how do we ensure that women feel supported to be in those leadership positions?
Right. For me, I really, like, transformative leadership. Leadership where, you know, when you get into a space and you leave it, will people feel the change, the impact that you've left in that space? And I think for women, it's just getting into space. Like, for example, when I looked at our university, for example, we had, like, many student leaders who are female, and it was really transformatory for me as someone who was served in the leadership. And to me, it inspired me as a commoner to What do we call people who are served in leadership?
Our bosses. They are our bosses at the end of the day.
And you see how these leaders have handled issues, and you're like, Jacinta, yes, you can. You know, this little voice you're trying to, you know, to suppress it. You're supposed to, you're trying to make it small and leaving impact. Like, if I give my own experience, like when I go out and impact or read a story to these children and ask questions, and I feel like these children want more of these books, it makes me want to do more, and even it inspires the lady in the crowd to want to be in my position and to cheer. And sometimes what I do is give them the book to read and now sit down as someone who is cheering this and listen to them. And I think to me that's what's amounted to a transformative leadership in my...
Okay, to add on that, I can say creating those spaces for your fellow ladies, in that when you get this opportunity to get to know the different organizations which support female leadership, you can also connect your fellow ladies to that. And I can say that I got to learn this from her because she's one person who she really wants us to follow what they started, or rather to get to those spaces where you can feel comfortable being leaders. Because I know in some spaces you can feel like we are inferior because this male wants to dominate. And I feel when we are in those spaces where we have our fellow ladies who have gone through this and we've seen them being great leaders, I think it will motivate us and also want to be in their position too. So I do believe that when you get that chance to get to know, or rather experience new things from different positions, or rather from different organizations, it's good you connect other people to know about us, because I do believe that they also get to learn, or rather pick something from that that will help them in their leadership.
Yeah, and to lastly note, I think one of my proudest achievements is the fact that a female president came after I left presidency. Yeah, okay. So I held her hand and she came up, and that's one of my proudest moments.
All right. For me, how I help my sisters who want to get into leadership position is supporting them.
Right.
Support. Munajua support.
Right.
Yani, uko apo in the DMs wishing them success. You know, sometimes, because you experience self-doubt, you experience imposter syndrome. These are things with baggage. You wake up in the morning, you text them, you tell them, hey, as you campaign, just know that I'm here with you.
Right.
Yeah? Even helping them campaign.
Right.
Even rallying people to actually do that. So really supporting these people individually and being there for them is also something that I think, yeah, really helps. And if I could just say a quote, I came across it. It's on gender equality, because now we're talking about women.
Right.
So it says that for most of history, Anonymous was a woman.
Right.
That really goes ahead to say the way for, because that's the thing, for a very long time, the woman's voice was not considered. You would talk, but your voice will not be heard. Yeah? You will just be making noise.
And that's why I conducted the Female Student Leader Conference last year.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So thank you, ladies. I'm very inspired to be like very frank. I think your personal leadership stories are very inspiring, interesting.
We need a whole day.
A whole day to just listen to. And I love the fact that the two of you, even them, because they are younger than you, the fact that you support each other in your sisterhood to get into those spaces sometimes can seem very difficult to get into. And I do hope that the young women listening to this podcast feel very inspired and supported, and also sort of grow their own movements, grow their own sisterhoods that also support them in their leadership spaces.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you.
The views that have been shared here are expressly our own views, and they do not reflect the views of Akili Dada or any other affiliate organizations.